We have a couple new sponsors in 2018. Rob Dukansky of RE/MAX First Advantage. You can reach him at 855-350-1015 or online at robsellsnj.com. True story, Rob sold my house in 3 days. I spent a lot of time in real estate. I'm a licensed broker in a few states, and I can tell you, Rob Dukansky is the best. We're happy to have him on board, Speaking Millennial. Our other big sponsor for 2018, CSI Group. The CSI Group, you can reach them at 1-800-TAX-LAWS or CSICPA.com. This is a family business, but they've got locations all over New York and New Jersey. And I'm going to tell you, taxes are too complicated to go it alone. Don't think that you're going to go online and just plug and play and get it done. You don't want to have a letter from the IRS a couple years after you file your taxes and find out you made a big mistake. And the CSI Group will give you a free consultation. So all you got to do is call them at 1-800-TAX-LAWS and they will help you out. Remember, you don't know what you don't know. I'm happy to talk about one of our sponsors, great sponsor, good friend, Vinny Brand, owns the Stress Factory in New Brunswick. The website is stressfactory.com. Vinny Brand runs one of the great comedy clubs, honestly, in the country. Not only does he have A-list comics coming in almost every single week, but the show is great. The food is fantastic. The staff, the service, there's parking right next door. If you've not discovered the Stress Factory in New Brunswick, you've got to get there. Go to stressfactory.com and buy your tickets. It's a great night out, reasonable cost, absolutely hilarious entertainment, great food and hospitality. Stressfactory.com.
Looking for a car, new or used? This is Jay Black to tell you there's no better destination than our friends at the Flemington Car and Truck Country family of brands, located on Route 202 and 31 in Flemington and at Flemington.com. Here you will find 16 automotive brands, plus over 500 available certified pre-owned vehicles to fit every budget. You'll get the financing, the trade-in value, and the credit you need, and dependable vehicle service maintenance that delivers peace of mind. Choose from Ford, Lincoln, Audi, Volkswagen, Porsche, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Cadillac, Infiniti, Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram, BMW, and Subaru. Shop them all, knowing every Flemington Car and Truck Country location has earned the coveted dealer-rated customer satisfaction award for 2017 based on your reviews. The Flemington Car and Truck Country family of brands, an honest, straightforward organization that has been satisfying customers for over 40 years. Family, independent, not corporate. Visit any of their 8 dealership locations on routes 202 and 31 in Flemington or at Flemington.com. There's a lot of really cool stuff about our new sponsor, Tito's Handmade Vodka. And I could tell you about all of it. I could tell you how great it tastes. I could tell you how it's the best way to relax after a hard day. I could tell you that it's distilled from corn, so it's gluten-free. I could tell you that it's made right here in America, in Texas. And not just Texas, the best part of Texas, Austin. It's the best part of Texas. I could tell you the thing I love most about Tito's Handmade Vodka. They use old-fashioned pot stills and they taste test every batch. It's the same way that they make fine single malt scotches and high-end French cognac. Why is this amazing? Well, it's amazing because as John F. Kennedy said, we don't go to the moon because it's easy, we go to the moon because it's hard. And this is a harder way to make vodka, but it makes for better vodka. That's why it's handmade vodka, and that's why you gotta go out and get Tito's Handmade Vodka right now.
Hey, everybody. It's Speaking Millennial Podcast. I'm Jay Black, not Bill Spadia. I'm here with Jessica, not Nut, but Yay! Jessica Gibson. Hey, Jessica Gibson.
Hi.
We don't have Bill with us right now. He had a...
I feel like I did the hokey voice now.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll talk about that in just a moment because Jessica made fun of my initial voice where I was like, should I drive the show? Should I be the one that goes, hey, everybody, welcome to Speaking Millennial Podcast? And she's like, you're going to do it in that voice? It's not a good voice now, but in olden times, Jessica, okay, that was called the Mid-Atlantic accent. Okay. And if you've ever seen movies from the 30s and 40s, or if you've ever heard songs from that time period where everybody's talking like this, hello, welcome to our newspaper.
Yeah, not fantastic.
There's a reason why people talk like that. It was because the recording technology at the time couldn't pick up highs or lows very well. Oh. So if you wanted to have a good voice, what we would call a good radio voice now, which is a little bit deeper with a little bit more timber, olden times, you would do it in this high kind of pitch from up here kind of voice, like, hello, welcome right. to the Philadelphia Story. And that's why everybody in the 30s and 40s sounded like that.
Not because they wanted to be made fun of for sounding funny.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that, you know, in 40 or 50 years, our grandchildren will be making fun of us. There's like, as they listen to Speaking Millennial, I assume, in school.
Did you call me us because I'm like married now and I'm like old?
You are. So here's the thing. If you are married and you have a mortgage, you're in the middle age club. You are middle aged now. Welcome to the club, God. Jessica. Yep. You can forget about it. You can stop caring about how you look.
That's the thing. It's like millennials are like, we're working now. We're like actually part of society now. Mm-hmm. We're not just college kids.
Nope. You're no longer just hanging around drinking a dollar beer night. You are actually part of the workforce. And do you see now why everybody hated you when you were just college kids?
I was talking to like a master's program college counselor, and she was like, yeah, my kids are in school, and I just tell them, you're not that person. You're like better. You're a better person than this. So now I'm like, yeah, I kind of sucked back then a little bit.
Well, see, that's the thing is when you have, I call it infinite time. When you're when you're young, you know, that feeling of infinite time is both glorious and the reason why old people hate you. But then you join us on the other side of infinite time where you're like, I don't have that much time. I don't have time to do anything. I'm bored. I'm busy all the time. I've got a mortgage. My life is pretty standard. Every day is kind of the same and I hate everything. Now you know why we feel the way we do. That dead-eyed look that you get from like 45-year-olds.
Wow.
You've joined that club. Welcome to it, Jessica.
I think I still have plenty of time. Like I just said, I have all this free time now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. You're middle-aged.
The world is standing still. I'm 45 with dead eyes. Great.
That's right. Everything squishes together.
What are we going to do without Bill?
What's that?
What are we going to do without Bill?
I mean, what we're going to do is get super depressed. That's what we're going to do. We're just going to spiral together down. Yeah, Bill's not here, everybody. And we're hoping to record wraparounds for these. I don't know if we can or if we will later on. But if you're upset about that, blame Bill's recorder. What do you say? Is editor broke? Okay.
So he sounds like he's having a very miserable day. But in TV terms, his P2 camera is doing stand-ups for him. And it's been a long night.
What's a P2 camera?
And I don't know. All the fancy recording equipment. They're like, I guess he's down to the bare bones.
Really?
They're a show together today.
They're filming by charcoal sketch and candlelight right now. Someone is just going to animate Bill. Speaking of charcoal sketch, that was our favorite thing at the wedding.
Really?
Was the woman doing fashion design drawings of people at your wedding.
I actually, now that you mentioned that, I'm judging you so hard because you and your wife did a double take of the photo booth.
Oh, were you not supposed to do a double take of the photo booth?
I just like judging the people that did do like, oh, let's go back and do it again.
All right, wait, so you judge them like, oh, I'm so happy that these people took advantage of this wonderful thing that I set up for them?
I love the like transition from like, oh, what do? To like just nailing it the second time. Like, we're doing it. And they've had a couple drinks.
Well, let's be clear, Jessica. I have never nailed a photo once in my entire life. There, I have gone to get professional headshots taken. I have had photo shoots. I've done promotional photos for movies that I've been in. I've never once had someone go, that's a great photo.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, people go, oh, I guess that's how you do look. I am the opposite of photogenic.
They're funny.
Oh, you have them?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Well, you have all the photos from that?
I mean, we can talk about them right now and just not show anybody.
Oh, well, I mean, with your descriptive ability, I'm sure you could probably describe how great we look. Bill and Ashley, who I think is joining us in a little bit, her boyfriend Ryan, Bill's wife Jody, and my wife Christina, we did a sit down, all six of us together.
Yes.
And none of our heads like actually made it in, I think, except in one photo.
I think that's why they had like a iPad kind of showing you like a mirror where you're at.
Oh, right. Yeah, I didn't see that. And I will say this about Bill. If you want to know what kind of, friend Bill is, Bill said that the picture that he chose to share on Instagram had all of our heads cut off except his, but his head looked good, so he decided to use that. So my head is, and probably for the best.
Did you guys have fun?
We had a blast. It was wonderful. I ate the fudge before the salad came, just as an FYI.
The vanilla caramel fudge was so good, right?
I loved it. Yeah, vanilla caramel fudge from, where was it? It was in Ocean City?
I don't know where they're. We go to the one in like, I mean, Avalon, so right. Stone Harbor.
Whose idea was that? That was a great idea.
My husband's.
Oh, your husband. Are you used to saying that now?
No, the first time someone said it, I was at a restaurant and it was like the busboy, like, oh, is your husband like in the back? Like, where's he at?
Oh, wow.
Like, are you ready for your dessert order?
And were you like, this is a moment. Yeah. Let me take a picture of you because this is the first time I've been called a wife.
Yeah.
All right. So you're looking at pictures. I see you a little.
I'm trying to find the ones of you and Bill and Ashley.
It was when we were outside and very melty.
Was it hot?
It was hot. You should know that I and then a little bit later, Bill just came in and sat down with all the old people. Because all the old people were just like, I'm not standing out there for cocktail hour. I'm going to go sit down in the air conditioning.
So, I love this picture so much.
Wait, is that...
everyone's doing the point.
Oh, the point. Oh, right. And I'm hunched over. Look at me like a hunchback trying to get my giant head into the picture.
You seem to have like figured it out a little bit.
Yeah. Here. Okay, let me take a look here. This.
All right, click through them.
All right. Yeah, look how pretty the girls are and Bill.
It's like a great setting for them.
And look, doesn't it look like someone cut off my head and then photoshopped it back in onto my shoulders?
Yeah, like it's kind of closer to the camera than the rest of the body, so it just looks...
Yeah, there's something super weird. I look like an ape.
You have no neck.
Yep, I honestly look like an ape that someone decided... Like my wife is like a, she did sign language with the ape, and it's like the Shape of Water. You know, she fell in love with this ape person, and yes. She was like, I'm taking you to the wedding, regardless of what society says. It's actually quite a touching story now that I think about it. And let's see. And then, and the last two pictures, Ryan, who is Ashley's boyfriend, finally managed to get his way into the picture.
Yeah,
and
here's, so they're on the podcast, the wedding.
Yes, they are.
And
yes.
No one talks to them for like 20 minutes.
Well, they leave is what happens.
Oh, okay.
I'm putting your computer down here.
Yeah.
So we got to talking about something and, I got to ask Ashley if she was really upset or not, because she started to explain something and then Bill figured out what she was trying to explain and then explained it back to her.
Yes.
And I stopped and I was like, oh my God, that is the most white mansplaining, like 49-year-old guy thing to do I've ever seen.
At least you were like aware to like call him out for it.
Oh yeah. No, it was wonderful. Well, no, my wife called me out on it, a couple of months ago. And because she had given me an idea and I was like, let me think about that idea. And I processed it. And then the next day,
you repeated the same
idea. I was like, honey, I had a great idea. And then I told her back her idea. And she's like, that was my idea. And I was like, that doesn't sound like something that would happen, that you had an idea. It sounds like I would have had the idea. And she explained.
So exhausting.
What? To hang out with me?
The mansplaining.
So that's actually a question that I have. Because in the moment, I think that what happened was Bill just sort of figured out what she said and was honestly repeating it back to her.
Is that what he said?
Well, not in the moment.
It didn't seem that way. We listened to it on the honeymoon just because I was on it.
Right.
And I knew I embarrassed myself a little bit.
You did not. You were great. So, you were great on it.
At least I didn't curse.
So you did not curse. You just said you had to pee. Which you did, and I would imagine very difficult to get the dress off to pee.
I had no idea. Like, I was pretty much okay all night, like, saying hello to everyone. And I was like, I need to, like, run to the bathroom really quickly. Let me just, like, shoot over there, shoot back to do what I'm doing. And, like, every person in the room just decided to, like, grab my shoulder and be like, I need to talk to you for a second.
Well, that's your wedding. That's what happens.
They followed me into the bathroom, and they were talking to me about, like, hotel keys.
Oh, they were asking about...
Yeah, like actual like detail, like I needed to talk to you, finally had a minute. I'm like, now's not that minute.
Yeah, now's the time to tell me how beautiful I look and how great the wedding was and nothing else. There's no other thing to talk about.
Yeah.
If you listen to the podcast, you know, you can go back and be the judge yourself whether or not Bill was actually mansplaining back. But do you deal with that a lot? Is that something that actually happens to young women in the workforce? Or is that just something that happens on Twitter?
It happens all the time.
Really? So yes. Like same kind of idea, like you say something and then a man goes, that's great. But he doesn't give you credit for it.
And it's exhausting because it's like, why do I even bother talking? Like, why am I sitting in the room right now? Because holy crap, I just said that. He repeated it quieter and slower. And everyone's like, great idea. We should pursue that.
So do you think that that's cultural or do you think that there's something biological in like responding to deep, low voices?
I might be like, maybe I'm really annoying.
Oh, well, that's for sure, Jessica.
I mean,
No, I don't think that's it. I honestly think that, I think it's, you know what, as I think about it, it's probably cultural first, but there is something, you know, we just got the dog. And I have a little girl.
The dog only listens to you, right?
Well, the deep voice, you say, hey, stop it. The dog goes, oh, you know, it actually pays attention. My daughter, who's three, when my wife can say something 45 times, and my daughter will just look at her like, there's no threat of anything here. And I'll go, hey, Penny. And she stops.
Is that the dog's name?
No, that's my daughter's name is Penny. The dog's.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's all right. My daughter is a little bitchy, so there is, you know, I can see why you would think that. The dog's name is Rosie.
Rosie.
Okay. Rosie. Yes, it was going to be between Rosie and Daisy, and I voted Daisy, and everybody was fine with that.
That's so funny.
And then my three-year-old decided it was just going to be Rosie, and she managed to convince everybody of that.
Daisy for sure is a dog name.
Yes, Rosie is not so much, but I think after the Roseanne scandal, you know, this is a way to, you know,
bring up more positive light.
Yeah, that name now has positivity connected to it and not virulent racism. So
is Penny a dog name is the question.
Penny is a dog name, and I know this because I had a dog named Penny.
Right.
So we did not name my daughter after that dog. We named her Penrose, but then she just became Penny. So in my mind, it is my daughter's name first, but I can see why you would think it was a dog's name.
I sent Ashley Hall the wrong number.
Oh, she'd been trying to call a different number?
Well, she tried and was like, no one answered. And I'm like, well, call again.
So yes, Jessica and I are waiting on Ashley Hall, who you last heard in the wedding episode. And just so you know, if you are a Spadia fan, you're probably used to time being all wonky. But is that Ashley? Is she on? Oh, okay. So Ashley, hi. Hey, how are you?
Hi, guys. How are you?
We're doing great. We're so happy to have you back on the podcast since the wedding episode. This won't drop until the end of September. So for the people who are listening, it's been 2 months from the wedding till now, but this is our first record since the wedding.
Yay.
So everything's a little wonky time-wise. How you doing, Ashley?
I'm living my best life. How are you guys doing?
That's a very Melania Trump answer.
Is it? She never talks. How do you know what she said?
Well, because her Twitter campaign is be best.
Oh.
Right? Ashley, I was supposed to see you yesterday at your job at NBC, but I had to postpone my audition a week. Do you know why?
No.
Ashley Hall took your room that you had auditioned in?
No, not that. I fell down a flight of steps, like leaving for the audition. I misstepped on like my third step and I fell down my steps and had to go to urgent care. And Doug Brown said, you know what, let's push till next week. So I'm sitting here with like a big wrap on my leg.
I can tell you that that is not what I expected you were going to say.
He is also wearing cargo shorts.
Cargo shorts, a polo shirt, and under, like you can see here, Jessica, check out my awesome wrap.
No, actually, where is it?
Look at that.
Really look like an old man with that.
Yeah.
It's like my first red flag, but it's okay. Honestly, it's fine.
Wait, the cargo shorts?
Yeah.
Okay, we had a long conversation about this. You are not married yet. You do not have children. Jessica married. You don't have children either. One day you'll have a man who has cargo shorts carrying all the stuff for your kids. And you will love them.
Oh, not in the giant diaper bag and everything else that the women always have to carry. It's going to be hidden in those little tiny short pockets.
Listen to me. I will be the first person to give credit where credit is due when it comes to child rearing. The mother is generally speaking the person who carries most of the stuff. But now that my kids are out of diapers, I have lollipops. I have flip-flops. I have sunglasses. None of my kids are diabetic, but I carry insulin just in case in my bag if somebody needs it. I have everything in my cargo shorts, and one day you'll find them attractive.
You're mansplaining again.
I'm not mansplaining. That's not mansplaining.
You're like, let me tell you how it really is.
This is explaining from this is old people talking to young people about their one day they're going to love cargo shorts, and you will come back and apologize.
How did falling down the stairs tie into your dog?
Oh, because I was supposed to go get the dog yesterday.
Oh, you couldn't. Okay.
And I couldn't.
So the dog didn't trip you down the stairs.
The dog did not trip me down the stairs. No, I tripped myself down the stairs like an asshole.
Ashley, you saved
I'm
us.
I'm really sorry I didn't get to see you and the traumatizing reason why, but maybe I'll see you in a week.
Yeah, you'll see me at the end of next week or the beginning of the following week. But I got that audition because I reached out to Doug, who works at NBC Universal, and said, "Hey, saw Ashley Hall." And he said, "Oh, yeah, you guys were at Jessica's wedding together. That reminds me, do you want to come in and audition for a new show?" And I was like, "Absolutely." So if I get that show,
go to weddings with me?
Yay.
That's the thing. You are lucky, but for other people, you emanate luck so that we just absorb when we're around you.
I've always said that about myself, and I also have it on my resume. Like, don't worry. Like, if I work somewhere, it's going to do really well because I just emanate luck. Like, it's all good.
You know who had that superpower in the comic books? Felicia Hardy, the Black Cat, who is Peter Parker's girlfriend for a little bit in the Spider-Man comic books. Her superpower was she was lucky. And, like, you know, she'd just jump out of a window and didn't have to worry about it. Good things would happen. Felicia Hardy.
I'm glad you shared that with me. I would have never known that without you, and I'm going to keep that in my back pocket for another time.
I'm going to tell you something. I don't know if that counted as mansplaining. Because I am a man, and I explain stuff.
Nerd moment.
This is a nerd moment. Yeah, I was nerdsplaining.
I would consider that mansplaining.
Yeah, you have to be a man first before you can mansplain. Yeah, I would say that nerdsplaining is probably what I did there.
Sorry.
I worked at a comic book store for many years in high school. You'd be surprised how many girls found that attractive.
I'm sure I would be.
Actually, the number was zero, and that's not surprising. But yeah, so we were at the wedding together, and we had so much fun. Did you have a good time at the wedding?
I honestly had the best time, so much so that the next day I was a little tired. But no, it was the best time, and it was great seeing you guys. And Jess, of course, looked amazingly beautiful, and it was just an all-around wonderful time. What I didn't enjoy was when I was pulled from my dinner to be a part of a podcast, which I was really excited about, because I was like, oh, I haven't done a podcast with these guys in so long. And then I got to talk maybe for a second before, like, being cut off by everybody. And I mean, it's fine. Like, I'm over it now, but I'll remember it as long as
you're gonna carry that trauma with you.
And I can tell you that Ryan, the boy that was man that was with me, my boyfriend, he was disturbed that we were recording a podcast at Jess's wedding.
Yeah, no, it was rude from the ground up. It was designed poorly. It was enacted poorly in the fact that we didn't allow everybody who was around that table talk. And you know what? We agree 100% with Ryan, but that's kind of the charm of Bill and me, I think, that we would do that.
You're just oozing charm.
I'm oozing. Who knows what's coming out? But okay, so Ashley, let's talk about you for a second, because we didn't get a chance to do that on the podcast.
She was like, what are we talking about on the podcast today? And I was like, well, we're going to call you, ignore you for 20 minutes, and that'll be it.
No, we're going to...
Like, the king of context, Bill Spadia, texts me and is like, hey, can you come on the podcast? And I was like, okay, what are we talking about? No answer. I'm like, hey, are we still on? Yep. And again, no context. But if you don't give Bill context, my goodness, his head will pop off his shoulders.
And that's a big head to pop off a shoulder.
Exactly. It could cause some real damage.
So, Ashley, tell me about what it is. Well, first off, you used to work at Chasing News, correct?
That is correct.
And now you work where? Where are you at?
I work at NBC Sports Philadelphia.
And what is your job over there? You're producing?
I have an incredible title that means nothing to anybody. It is Creative Services Manager.
That sounds pretty impressive.
Wow, manager.
Right? It sounds so much more impressive than it probably is. But I do like that M word in the title, you know? But basically what I do is I manage the team that helps to create all the creative stuff that you see on our social media, on air, during our shows, et cetera, et cetera. That could be memes, making fun of the other team we're playing that night. It could be the show graphics that you see in Philly Sports Talk, which we just redid. And then I actually, like, each year before each season launches for the four major sports, I actually go and speak with all the players and get them to make funny faces in the camera, say some one-liners, etc. So kind of the shortest way to explain a job that you pretty much just do everything and enjoy every second of it, truthfully.
Is this like when you're sitting there and you think about your job, because it does sound like you really enjoy it, is this sort of like what you would like to do into perpetuity, or do you have a goal down the line about producing maybe a little bit higher up in the like for network, or you know, a basic cable, something like that? Or do you like where you're at? Do you like what you're doing?
So I think something that I've always sort of battled with is I'm never really content. I've never been like that. I'm kind of always looking at what my next jump is going to be. So no, it's definitely not what I want to do forever. I think ideally, eventually, I would like to split off and do my own thing, be it a production company. I really enjoy rebranding shows. I've done it twice now. So I would love to maybe become more involved in the branding of companies, whether it be in an advertising agency or television. I mean, I love TV. I love sports. Getting into sports is probably the best decision I've made as of late. But that doesn't mean it'll be forever, but I love what I'm doing now. But no, I would say I'm probably never content. So I'm always looking to see where the road's going to lead me next. And I think that's pretty common, especially with people our age. Like, we're pretty driven and always looking at the next chapter.
Well, I'm glad you said our age, because yes, I'm very young.
And I know Jessica.
Yeah, and he earlier said I'm his age. I'm like, oh, well, that's nice.
No, you are. You're middle-aged now. Enjoy, yeah. Jessica.
Are we middle-aged at 28?
No. Jessica's middle-aged now because she's married and has a mortgage.
Oh, okay, right.
And
that automatically adds years, obviously.
You just get squished together into, well, you're just an adult like the rest of us. And
you're such an adult. I like kind of forgot about that.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
What, me?
No,
you.
I'm like,
yeah. Oh, Jessica. Oh, yeah. I was gonna say,
I'm a different person now.
Was that?
I'm like a different person now.
You are. It's on the other side. Do you find yourself saying like, I should subscribe to a paper newspaper?
I did.
Did you for real?
Yeah.
You have a real actual newspaper.
Well, I have an address.
Wow. You got to start reading like SJ Magazine or Jersey Magazine and just be like, oh, I wonder what the top seafood restaurants are in the state. You know, like that's important information all of a sudden.
Yeah, there's like local cooking classes in there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You're suddenly going to say, I need a crock pot. That's going to be something important in your life.
They give those to you as soon as you get married. That's just part of the subscription.
It's you get married and the priest.
Like crock pots and blenders and vacuums and like all those adult type things.
I'm going to tell you something. The most erotic thing that happened to me in the last 2 years is I bought a new refrigerator. And I just would call my wife. I'm like, is it there yet? And she'd be like, it's not there yet, Jay. And I was like, oh, just tell me when it's there. That's my life.
That sucks. What kind of refrigerator?
I got a Samsung and it's terrible. Don't buy the Samsung refrigerator. I was excited about it.
Did you get one of those like fancy ones?
Zach Shepherd are like the brand ambassadors for that. I love them.
Yeah, I love them too, but I hate their shitty refrigerators.
I'm going to let them know you said that.
I have a bad icebox problem. So I have an ice maker in there. And there's something wrong with the humidity, so it keeps freezing over, and it stops making ice. So I went online, and I was like, okay, this is a known issue. It's got to be.
Everyone's complaining about how this fridge sucks.
And the Samsung, not the person who's posting on the Samsung forum, but the actual Samsung representative said, we don't have a fix for this. Use a blow dryer every couple of months.
What?
Yep, that's their fix, is use a blow dryer, like some sort of Russian peasant. This is crazy that I have to go get a blow dryer. Now, granted, it is kind of cool watching the ice melt when you shoot it with the blow dryer.
You are blow drying.
I blow dry my yeah, because otherwise you can't get your ice.
What other choice do you have? You can't buy another refrigerator. You just got it.
Yes. Well, sometimes I will go to the Home Depot and pick up some undocumented workers to come in and breathe heavily on it, which saves me money in the long run. I just say that so that when Bill listens, he goes, that's a good idea.
Oh my god!
I think that's
exactly what he's going to say. We should just have like a Bill Spadia soundboard where we can just insert like certain comments.
I got
like
it.
That outstanding.
Yeah, exactly.
But and Ashley Hall just had that idea like 5 minutes ago, and you just claimed it like your own.
You know what we should have? We should have a Bill Spadia soundboard. Can we get that set up?
Oh yeah, and just pretend like he's on the podcast.
Ashley, so before you were talking, before you called in, we were talking about mansplaining just in reference to the what happened at the wedding and in the working world. I imagine, you know, you work in, I would say, a predominantly male-oriented field in the sense that it's the sports network. I don't know what the percentage is. But do you find yourself having to fight against that, you know, more often in what you're doing now or just in general? Because Jessica said it's terrible everywhere. As a man, I haven't experienced it. My life has been great. I don't know about you guys, but like, have you bumped up against that wall?
So I definitely, when I first started, ran into a little bit of it. But I mean, I will say pretty much everyone I work with at WC Sports really is great and does not act like that and is very open to like your ideas and wants to hear them. But like, of course, I think anytime you're younger and coming in to a job, whether it be male or female dominated, if you're a younger person coming in against all these people that have been there for 20 plus years, they're going to be like, what the heck do you know? So I almost ran into more like age issues, and because I hadn't been there for as long as these people that I was managing, I almost ran into more of that than the whole like mansplaining.
Do you find yourself offended at that? Because I don't know necessarily if I'd be offended, you know, being young, you know, maybe I don't know everything and I got to learn before I have an opinion that matters. Or did you find yourself just...
There was justification for it and if there was some explaining, but the difference was they would be blatantly wrong.
Gotcha.
And then saying things like, well, I've been here for 20 years and this is how we've always done it. And as we all know, the enemy of innovation is saying things like, oh, well, this is just how we've always done it. And, you know, working in a digital landscape like we are doing more and more and all that, you need to constantly be moving forward and constantly be innovating. And if you're saying things like, well, this is what we've always done, and using the time you've been there as like your weapon for that, it's not going to work. And so, you're not going to be there for long.
Ashley, if I'm hearing you correctly, just so I can make sure that Bill hears this section of the podcast, conservatives who are old are terrible. That's what I'm hearing, right? Jessica, is that what you just heard? Because that's what I just heard. That the conservative outlook, that this is the way we've always done it.
Why are you going to beat up on Bill when he's not even here to defend himself?
I'm not beating up on Bill. I'm beating up on a mindset that maybe Bill, once he hears this section of the podcast, will go, I've been wrong all along. Maybe I should have voted for Hillary.
I'm friends with some of the people who have said those things to me now, you know, a year and a half later, and I'm pretty sure not all of them are conservative. So as much as I love beating up on Bill and I can, I don't know if I can say.
Well, no, I'm not saying conservative politically. I'm talking about conservative in general, which
mindset,
is the mindset of this is the way we've always done it. So why would we try anything new? You know, that's to me is like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely been an issue that I've run into. And I think that's anywhere where you've had, you know, NBC is a great company to work for. And in turn, there's not a lot of turnover, which is a really great thing. But when you're speaking of innovating and people just want to stay in their lane and do what they've done and say, stick with it, it can be an issue. And, you know, I think we're really getting around that. We're doing a lot of really cool stuff right now, but it's a problem anywhere you work, frankly.
Well, yeah, I think that there's, you know, there's the word institutionalized exists for a reason. People sort of get like, hey, this is groupthink and there's no way out of it. Jesse, you're giving me a look. Are we good with Anna Lacey? Is she
should be calling now.
She should be calling now. So we should probably wrap up with Ashley Hall.
I think she got to talk this time.
Ashley, did you feel like you had a chance to talk? I feel terribly that we cut you off at the wedding.
I mean, I just went and danced and like had a great time and drank more champagne. So it's really okay. You don't have to feel bad.
And Ryan called her out for stealing hoagie at the end of the night.
Wait, what happened?
There were hoagies.
At the end of the night, there were hoagies? Yeah. I left early. I didn't see that.
Like, I hate leaving things to not get eaten. And there was hoagies all wrapped up and ready to go at the end of the night. I'm like, I'm going to take one.
There was nothing wrong with
you
that.
You missed so much. No, there's through. Nothing wrong with it. Yeah.
No, I left about 9:30. Well, how long did it go for?
Well, so they turned off the music and some lady sang us an Irish wedding song. So she just continued
nice.
Singing.
That did happen.
Yeah.
And then did a man get up and re-sing the Irish wedding song and explain how this is much better that I, as a man, I can sing this too?
No.
I'm just making sure.
A woman told us to wrap up and then a man came back after that and said, no, everyone go home. You need to wrap up.
Yeah, time to wrap up. And people are like, well, I guess we got to wrap up. Now we got to take it seriously. Ashley, thanks for joining us here on Speaking Millennial. It's always good, you know, every fifth or sixth episode, we like to have a millennial on and actually talk about issues about that millennials go through. So it's good that you joined us and brightened up our show.
It was great talking to you guys. Jess, I'll see you soon.
Thank you. Love you.
Ashley, I'll see you.
I'll see you next week, too.
Yay.
I'll
see you next week. See you next week.
Love you guys.
Love you. Right. Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, that was fun. I feel bad that we cut her off so much at the wedding.
Did you?
Well, I don't think
Anna's getting user busy.
User busy? Oh, because Ashley was on.
Yes.
Okay, so we can call her. Well, let's wrap this up then, and should we just run it through and then should we cut it into two podcasts? We should probably.
Let's just cut it into two. Right. We're at 30 minutes.
All right. So, on behalf of the missing Bill Spadia, he's in court right now. No, he's working. I'm Jay Black. You can find me nowhere because I'm not on social media because I don't want to be influenced by Russian bots. And also social media is terrible. But you can find is it still Chasing Jess Nut?
It's still Chasing Jess Nut because I have a check mark.
You have a check mark, so you can't change it.
I'm not going to change it.
There needs to be some sort of...
I'm Jessica Gibson now.
She's Jessica Gibson, but you can find her at Chasing Jess Nut because she has a check mark and Twitter
like
doesn't have...
filing social security for like keeping your Twitter hashtag.
Yeah, there needs to be some sort of
I
thing to
keep
do.
I want
to
keep the number and the check mark, just change
for
it.
Sure. Well, you can find her at Chasing Jess Nut. You can find Bill at Bill Spadia, right? That's his, right?
Yes.
Not at Bill Spadia with an I. It's with an E. The one with an I is the fake Bill Spadia account.
Don't send people to that
one. No, don't go to that one. Go to the one with an E. And we'll be back next week with Anna Lacey.
Yay.
Yay.